Life is so much more than a diagnosis. It's about sharing time with those you love, hanging with friends who lift you up, and experiencing all those moments that bring you joy. All hits, no skips. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you. So long live singing to the oldies, jamming out to something new, and everything in between.
How you guys doing? Hello, everyone.
Hello!
Welcome to the Nick Wilson Show.
Sounds like a typical bastard.
What's going on in Nick Wilson's mind?
My mind is a raging torrent flooded with rivulets of thought.
You're about to find out.
Look who knows so much.
Nick Wilson is on now.
Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ, Willie P. in the building. Hope you're enjoying yourself as we are halfway home on a Friday. Big third hour of the program, which includes a conversation with Charlotte Hornets beat writer Rod Boone at 12:20. The best moments from the show this week, with the Gold Brick Ceremony coming up at 12:40. We'll continue to get in some more of your thoughts about the Hornets throughout our time here at 704-570-9610. That is the Garage Door Guru text line, and also some more calls. We might try to open up the phone lines again in the 1 o'clock hour just to give you some opportunity to react to what happened yesterday. But as we continue to encapsulate all the thoughts that you might have, we will do so not just with the Hornets, but the entire NBA draft, as well as what else is going on across the sports world with the Nooners. We start with the first pick overall. Paolo Banchero goes number one overall to the Orlando Magic. Chet Holmgren goes to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Jabari Smith goes to the Houston Rockets. It seemed like the conventional wisdom going into the draft had Smith and Banchero switched. At least that was the feeling earlier in the day. What do you think switched with the Magic turning their eyes toward Banchero?
Honestly, no idea, because Banchero never worked out for Orlando. So I don't know if it was just a gut feeling, something that Orlando got back about Jabari Smith Jr. that hasn't been released yet to us that swayed their decision. I don't know. I do like what Orlando's building down there. You got Cole Anthony. You got Paolo Banchero. I believe you got Jalen Suggs. Like, they've got a nice core of players. It's just now about being able to grow and develop those guys and making Orlando somewhat relevant again in the Eastern Conference.
Looking at some of the other things that happened in the first 10, 11 picks, I felt that Sacramento might have messed this up.
That seems accurate.
Because Jaden Ivey sitting there at four, you let him go by the wayside. I know you got Fox, but like that shouldn't preclude you from taking a kid who I think can be a real big solid backcourt with you.
Yeah, no, Jaden Ivey was a guy that the Knicks were rumored to trade up and go get, and I was hoping that was going to come to fruition last night, and it didn't happen. But
he might be the best player outside the top three.
You know, Sacramento messing things up, that sounds about right.
Did San Antonio overdraft with Jeremy Sochan? I was a little surprised that he went that early, but it does fit the profile of player they usually take.
I don't know. I think that was a perfect fit for him. That was a guy that I would have loved to see here in Charlotte at 15 maybe, after they would have dressed the front court. I don't think so. I thought San Antonio, I don't know how long Pop's going to do this, but I really loved their draft last night going into the future.
The New York Knicks doing nothing, really, which I find somewhat laughable and hilarious. They did draft Asmani Jang, but subsequently returned him to Oklahoma City. And then they get Jalen Duren, only to flip him to Detroit. They also get rid of Kemba Walker, who goes to Detroit and apparently is accepting or at least trying to negotiate a buyout. The Charlotte Hornets pick at 13. They get Jalen Duren of Memphis, but also ship him, as we said, in that trade. They do get Mark Williams out of Duke with their lone first-round pick at number 15 overall. And Mitch Kupchak believes that one thing that's an underrated part of his game is his shooting ability.
He fills a need on the team. He can shoot the ball better than I think we've seen. You know, watching Duke play, they were so talented. And as you can see, with all the players, they're probably going to get drafted in the first round. You know, he wasn't really the player that was, you know, that was able to do what he wanted to do offensively. They just had to share the ball so much. So I think we'll see more of, you know, individual skill than perhaps you've seen, you know, the last couple of years at Duke.
Now, I do feel like from where the Hornets sit, Williams is probably right now a consistent 15 to 17 an inch shooter. I think he has to expand that to the 20, 21, 22 foot range. I'm not saying he has to be a 3-point shooter, but he needs to be able to hit that, you know, top of the key, left, right side of the key type shot from the top there, because I do feel like he at least needs to give you the threat to come out and get him so that he can, you know, post a drop step and at least provide a threat on the pick and roll.
The good news is that his shot is fluid enough to where you could see that becoming reality for him. He's a 74% foul shooter. He has a good motion. So if he works on it and continues to grow and develop, he could become at one point a 35, 36% three-point shooter. That wouldn't surprise me.
We've heard a lot about what the comps are on Mark Williams in terms of, you know, who he feels his game combines to. We say Kevon Looney is kind of a name that we all kind of throw out there, and he's obviously a very big role player on a championship-level team. The name he keeps coming back to was the other center in the NBA Finals, and that was Robert Williams when he spoke to Mack and Bone this morning on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
Impact-wise, I'd say right now maybe like a Robert Williams from Boston. You know, his ability, you know, catch lobs, you know, in the playoffs, he was fighting the knee injury, but, you know, his ability to protect the rim, guard everybody, you know, play hard and, you know, try to help Boston in any way he can.
I know he keeps throwing that name out there. Do you feel like the comp is accurate? I feel like if it's on the high end, yes, but I think he's got room to grow to get to that level.
Yeah, if that's what he ultimately becomes, hell yeah. That's you really like that. Right now, no. He's nowhere near the same stratosphere as Kevon Looney. Or not Kevon. He's more Kevon Looney than Robert Williams as of right now.
Now, the Hornets had a lot of action going on last night, including the Miles Bridges decision or not decision. Mitch Kupchak did not offer much of anything in terms of that particular move. He did say, though, they are going to try and prioritize their own free agents before looking at the open market. So at least there is a prioritization there. He also mentioned that he would not share what the prioritization was because he does have not just Miles Bridges to think about, but also Cody Martin, who's also a restricted free agent, as well as Montrezl Harrell and Isaiah Thomas. I don't know if either Harrell or Thomas profile with this organization further.
There's value in having that veteran point guard on the roster behind LaMelo.
I'm not saying it because I don't want them, but I get the sense that they're trying to reserve as much money as possible for Miles.
You know, and then for Harrell, it's not even the weed thing that really bothered me. There were games last year that were big important games.
There were days where we went invisible.
That
I agree.
He didn't even see the court, so I don't know if that was something on his end, something on JB's end. I don't know. But when you're playing Miami and he doesn't see the floor,
seemed odd. And you know, again, I don't see it as a priority. I do feel like they do need to add a big, but I feel like a starter level big is what you could do, because then you can move, you know, Plumlee down to that reserve position, and then you're not having to call on Williams as much. Maybe Plumlee turns into a trade deadline or trade bait type kind of guy for a team down the stretch to get the Hornets some more of that currency we keep talking about. We also did hear Mitch Kupchak's first comments last night about Kenny Atkinson's decision to turn down the Hornets job after agreeing in principle about 2 weeks ago.
Disappointed, and still feel he would have been a good selection. You know, I've known Kenny for a long time. You know, he's a Long Island guy, so which is where I'm from. So there's the Long Island basketball mafia that really supported him. We are a little bit, you know, different in age, you know, but I've known him for a while. And I think he would have been a good pick. But, you know, if he's not comfortable, I'd rather find out now than a year from now.
By the way, the Long Island basketball mafia that our friend Matt Doherty is a part of, too. The Long Island connection. He's from Hicksville, by the way, which is next town over from where my grandmother passed in Levittown. But I come away from this, and the chatter around Kenny seemed to very much devalue the head coach position in the NBA. And while I won't go so far as to say the word devalue, I do agree with him on the notion that, for the most part, if you're breaking down a pie chart of where the importance lies, I would say three-quarters of that pie chart is reserved for where and how the roster is built and how the pieces fit together.
Yeah, I just have a really hard time. Yeah, when you have a coaching job available and you just got embarrassed by a guy who turned you down or who walked away after accepting the job 9 days prior, I wouldn't go on record saying that coaching isn't as important as the roster, because I've never seen a team win a championship with a subpar coach. Never. It's never happened.
Budenholzer?
No. He came from the Greg Popovich tree. He's a really good NBA coach. And you look at what Steve Kerr did in this NBA Finals. I know he had Steph Curry.
No, Kerr's a good coach.
But the coaching he did the last three games defensively.
No, Kerr's a good coach. People like to usurp credit from Steve Kerr. Now, Steve Kerr is a fine coach and maybe even a Hall of Fame level coach.
So, I mean, to me, that was just wild. Like, I couldn't imagine. It'd be almost like an AD in college saying, we don't need a coach to win the championship. We just need to have, you know,
recruiting
38 five-star recruits, because that's what wins. Wild.
Kupchak saying that he's not feeling antsy about not having a coach at this point. He did say that ideally they'd like to have one by the start of free agency next week on the 30th of June, but says it's not a requirement, and he believes that the deliberate nature of this coaching search isn't something that should be criticized.
We have not rushed this process. You know, we never felt the need to rush it. We wanted to pick and choose the right coach, and we thought we did. Okay, and we talked about him, you know, deciding to do otherwise, right? Which is better now than a year from now. Having said that, we're going to get a good coach.
If you're a fan of deliberate, well, then you're in luck, because according to a pair of multiple reports, first from Mark Stein and then from our next guest, Rod Boone, they seem to think that the conversations are being had with former Bobcats head coach Steve Clifford as a possible reuniting with this organization as the head coach. May I remind you that while Clifford, a very likable guy and very good to us in the media, his sides, to say they languished offensively, I think would be kind. To say they were poor offensively, I feel is more accurate. Defensively, he's great. And I think, you know, him as an assistant with a better head coach probably isn't the worst thing in the world to try and give this team some defensive discipline. But man, oh man, oh man, if that's your head coach, I shudder to think what you can attract with that.
Yeah, no. If Steve Clifford's coming here to be the defensive coordinator to a Mike D'Antoni, okay, sign me up. If that's who you're hiring over Mike D'Antoni, over Terry Stotts, over Sam Cassell.
Did I create this with my anti Mike D'Antoni?
Oh, this is what you deserve. 100%.
Oh, is that it?
You and Nick deserve Steve Clifford to coach the Hornets again.
Is that it? Listen, I'm not. Come on now.
Yep.
Because I didn't realize Nick was an anti D'Antoni guy too.
Oh yeah. He flat out doesn't thinks that would have been the worst hire.
I don't think that there is a person they can bring in here that's going to completely napalm the entire scene. But I don't see how that hire helps you, is the point. I do feel like, again, it does involve the players on the floor doing what they need to do in the facets of a system that is administrated by the coach. But at the same time, talent is what wins.
It's going to be wild if this team enters free agency without a head coach, because how do you sell free agents on coming to play here? I mean, outside of LaMelo.
I say you're selling LaMelo. You have to sell.
You don't have a system. You don't have a track record of excellence to sell them on. You can sell them on dysfunction.
You're selling them on the cereal bar that LaMelo goes to.
And what, a new practice facility?
Yes.
Like that's right now. It's all about all you got to offer.
The Dr. Pepper Pavilion, which you saw last night, which actually was pretty cool looking.
Yeah. It did look pretty nice. Well, I wasn't there physically, but...
Yeah. Looked all right. Those are the Nooners for the 24th day of June, 2022. Kind of everything that has happened throughout the day and last night with the Hornets. We're going to hear from those players coming up at 1 o'clock. at the podium. We'll give you as much of those comments as we can. Again, we heard from Mark Williams already this morning. It'll be our first time to hear from Bryce McGowan. I do feel like Mitch is going to speak again, but he's also going to be on with Kyle Bailey this afternoon. So we've got plenty more reaction from the principals at hand, but we had to talk to Rod Boone because he's one of the people who's reporting that this Clifford news is more than just news or has something that has a little bit of legs. We'll get the latest on him from that and also what he thought of last night's draft when he joins us next, the beat writer for the Charlotte Observer covering the Hornets, Willie P. and for Nick Wilson on the Nick Wilson Show, Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.
I'm very confident. You know, I take pride in playing defense. You know, obviously I've, you know, catch lives and, you know, I take pride in that stuff. So, you know, obviously to have LaMelo with me is really exciting and I can't wait for it.
Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. That is Charlotte Hornets first round draft pick Mark Williams out of Duke from earlier today on the Mac Attack here on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ, your home of the Charlotte Hornets. Hornets picking both Mark Williams and Bryce McGowan's in last night's draft. They did trade their other first round pick for a package of picks coming back their way from the New York Knicks. One of those they also helped got them McGowan's. But a lot of conversation around the Hornets that we have to kind of siphon through. And to do that with us now on the Technicom hotline is the man who covers the Charlotte Hornets dutifully for the Charlotte Observer. It's Rod Boone who joins us on FNZ. What's going on, Rod? How are you, pal?
I'm doing good. How you doing, man?
I'm good, dude. So Williams in a vacuum. Hornets get their guy. How do you feel like it fits their roster?
Well, we've known for the last couple of years they've been searching for a big man to kind of at least help in, come in and help be a better rim protector, just a force on the interior because their defense on the inside and just ability to score easy buckets has been kind of something they haven't really had their strength the last couple of years. So to bring in a player essentially kind of checks off a lot of those boxes should help him out going forward. Obviously, he's a young guy, got to kind of going to come in and kind of build himself up and figure out what he can do and you know, kind of help him with his skill set there. But from all the things you hear from the Hornets and other people, like Jay Billis, who watched him play and everything, it's only the Hornets have a good pick in Mark Williams.
Were you surprised it was Williams and not Duren? They did actually pick Duren, but they flipped him, and I'll get to that in a moment. But were you surprised that Williams was the one they retained?
Not necessarily, because they actually had an individual workout with him a couple weeks back, and sometimes, not all the time, they had a couple other guys in here, including Shaden Sharpe, but individual workout usually gives you a chance to kind of go out there and just see something about the player you may normally not otherwise be able to witness during 3-on-3 or 5-on-5 play. So knowing the Hornets, how much they liked him, and I'm sure the fact that obviously he was at Duke, he gave a chance to kind of go and scout him a lot this past season, I'm not really surprised that he's the guy they kind of stuck with.
What is his ceiling, do you think?
Good question, man. Not really sure about that one. I think that's more for the draft experts and people who actually watch him play. But it seems like from everything that you hear, that he's going to be a good kind of prospect. Like, you know, I was looking at some odds earlier on one of these thousand websites who send us these emails about odds and things of that nature. And I think he's a 33-1 odd to win the Rookie of the Year, which is, you know, about middle of the pack compared to some other players. So with that being the case, I think he's at least a solid pick. It's just going to depend about, I guess, it's going to depend about more how he develops and if he can take his game to the next level, because he can be a good shooter, apparently. That kind of separates some big guys, obviously, nowadays, to be able to kind of step outside, hit that jump shot. So if he can do that consistently and just improve his other parts of his game, like defense, and being able to make sure he can be good in the pick and roll, I think he'll be okay.
Hornets beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, Rod Boone, joining us on Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ as we go over last night's NBA draft. The return for number 13, they draft Duren, they get a bunch of picks back, they use one to flip it for McGowan's, but you know, I'm a little unsatisfied with the fact that they didn't get a warm body back to them. Should the Hornets and their fans be satisfied with the return they got for number 13 overall?
Well, I mean, if you compare it to, I guess, what the Knicks got, I guess that's why fans are up in arms. But, I mean, you know, every deal is different, man. You know, people can sit there and be up in arms about certain things. But the Hornets and Mitch Kupchak is methodical. If nothing else, if you haven't paid attention to what he does, he's not going to do anything overly exorbitant. So I'm sure he has a plan to go out there and execute. what that plan is. We'll see. But I think fans kind of forget also that I think they didn't have a first-round pick next year. So by getting this pick from Denver, it at least kind of satisfies that in that regard. The second-round picks, you can always use the sweeteners to kind of help out in trade situations. So while it may not be the haul that some people probably would have liked to see in terms of blowing you away, they're methodical in what they've done. So to me, this kind of shows that maybe, when you make a trade like that with a team, that perhaps maybe something down the line, if ever you need them for cap space or something like that, perhaps they can be something that you can call upon and they'll help you out.
I'm not going to ask this question, in a definitive way, because I do feel like this meeting is different for every player. But, there's all this debate about whether or not Miles Bridges is worth the max deal. I guess the way that I'll ask the question is, should the Hornets go above and beyond to match for Miles Bridges come free agency's beginning next week?
They should pay him whatever he's worth. I mean, I think that's kind of something that really people should really kind of, I don't say mind their own business, but it's not your money, okay? It's not my money. So it's the Hornets' money, it's salary cap money, and I get that part of it. But if Miles Bridges' market, the certain market, he gets the contract, then that's what he deserves. So if he goes out there and is able to get his representatives to find a max deal from a team that has a lot of cap space and they bring it back to the Hornets, well, they have to match to be able to keep the man. So to me, the whole thing about how much is he worth, it's kind of stupid, man, because I don't think that you should actually sit there and determine something like that. When you see that the player he became this past season, becoming a leading scorer, since becoming close to potentially being, an all-star eventually. Like, I think Miles basically should go out there and get his bag, and the Hornets should basically give him whatever they can to not obviously try to catch a situation up long-term, but go out there and give the man his money.
You are very much on the same page as me, and I'm glad you answered it as such. Now to the head coaching position. What do you make of these reports, and your report as well, and these rumors about them possibly trying to reunite with Steve Clifford?
Well, I mean, that's what I reported, and we reported at The Observer, so I would stick behind our reporting because that's what we do. So there's definitely interest there. Again, how serious it is, I know it's serious, but what it ultimately leads to at this point, I can't say, man, because anybody that's followed this coaching search knows there's been a lot of peaks and valleys and a lot of different things that have happened. So I can tell you, though, for a fact that it's definitely serious interest on both sides.
In terms of what that means, what would a Steve Clifford reuniting with the Hornets mean for them? Because I understand what Mitch was trying to say last night and trying to not necessarily devalue the coaching position, but I don't know what that turns Charlotte into from a destination standpoint, because that'd be a less than inspiring fallback from the Kenny Atkinson hire, which I know a lot of people were kind of lukewarm on anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Steve Clifford, though, is he kind of finds a way to kind of get a maximum sometimes out of his roster. I know he didn't do, the last 2 years in Orlando, he didn't have a winning season, but his first year there, he had a winning season, and he's the coach who got the Hornets to the last two playoff appearances. So while it may seem like Back to the Future for some, they may not want to go back to that point. If you look at what he does bring to the table, familiarity, of course, is one thing, and experience is another. At this point, the Hornets are late in the game. You can't bring in somebody here who's a first-time coach, get a new coaching staff together. It's just kind of hard at this point. So if you bring in somebody who you're familiar with, at least it helps you out in that regard. So we'll see what happens there.
What did you make of his comments last night saying that the roster is what wins the games and not the coach?
Well, that was interesting to hear him say that, because it's actually my question that I asked him to kind of get his comment just on the coach situation and just how he felt about not having one at this point of the season. But I mean, at the end of the day, the roster, he's right, the players are what's going to win, but I think sometimes you have to have that coach to be that next level per se. But if you don't have the players who are able to go out there and have a great defensive scheme, or go out there and push the ball up tempo, or go out there and make a 3-point shot when you need them, then the coach can be the best coach in the world, but it's gonna be hard to win some basketball games.
I'll ask you this final one on the way out, because I do feel like at the end of the day, we always have to kind of take the totality of the off season. But my question to you is this: how likely is it that the Hornets come out of this off season a better team than when they concluded the play-in game?
I think they have to. They have no choice but to. I mean, right? I mean, if they make this coaching move to get rid of a coach who had 2 years left on his contract, and, you know, had them kind of going in a certain direction, although he couldn't get them past the playing tournament game, if you're going to make that decision and you're going to say part of the reason because you want to get to that next level, you need a new voice, well, you have to be able to improve this roster and find a way to be a better team next year. You know, it's playoffs a bust for these guys. They don't make a playoffs at the top 8 seed and at least make a significant showing in that first round series against whoever they're playing, and the season is a failure. You can't do this in the offseason where things are going in a certain direction and then say you went to another level and don't get there. So you have to, the roster has to be better coming into the offseason. Now, exactly what that looks like, we don't know, but I'd be stunned if they don't do something to at least tweak it a little bit. If not, you know, he's not going to blow it up, of course, or do anything crazy, but I can see a tweak or two coming down the line just because they have to do something to be able to improve the roster.
Rod's reporting is always rock solid. I'm very, very interested to see how the next couple of days go about, not just from the free agency standpoint, but the coaching standpoint. A lot of intrigue around the Hornets right now. And we'll also hear from those draft picks coming up in that 1 o'clock press conference, as well as an opportunity to hear once again from Mitch Kupchak. Appreciate the time as always, Rod. You're awesome.
Thanks. Appreciate it, Will. Have a good one, man.
That is Rod Boone joining us here on Sports Radio 927 FNZ. I probably didn't ask that question about the Steve Clifford report. Well, what I was trying to say is, I guess, what I was trying to cipher and decipher what exactly does their interest mean, and he finally didn't answer it. I wasn't trying to insult Rod's reporting there. I hope it didn't come off that way, and I'll say as much to him off air, but, you know, what does that tell you about the fact that he's there? I mean, does that almost tell you that they're looking at Clifford as almost kind of like a caretaker because they don't really have an option right now and they're going to try to run this back next year?
I don't know. You thought, or the listeners thought, we thought going back to D'Antoni was a panic move. They hire Steve Clifford. That screams.
That's a Band-Aid is what that is.
That screams desperation. You're giving into the fact that you're feeding into the perception of your franchise around the league if you hire Steve. And look, Steve did a good job here. He took the franchise to 2 playoff appearances. He made Kimball Walker almost a god at certain times during his time here in Charlotte. You can't go back to that guy. That well is dry. He doesn't fit today's NBA as a head coach.
Well, it definitely does fit the way. I mean, maybe Mitch Kupchak is telling you the answer to the question by that final comment, the roster and the coach and all that stuff. Maybe he's giving you the answer to the question there.
I don't know. I mean, you can make an argument that he didn't get the most out of Kemba Walker while he was here. Are you willing to risk that with him and LaMelo Ball? I'm not. I want to get the most out of LaMelo Ball, which is why I want a Mike D'Antoni, a Terry Stotts, maybe a Sam Cassell type of guy. Not a retread in Steve Clifford.
I am not trying to stump for Clifford here. Don't put that evil on me, itty bitty fitty. I'm just trying to present the viewpoint from where Kupchak is sitting. I don't know if that's I know the reporting's out there. Rod is about as good on this as anybody, so I take him and Mark Stein at their word, and not with a grain of salt. I think it's very interesting to kind of see that. But, you know, we were hearing about the other day that Mike D'Antoni was meeting with MJ. I don't know if Steve Clifford's met with MJ yet. And the one thing we heard last night from Mitch is that he did say, you know, we've been methodical with this process, and we aren't going to rush, and we haven't rushed, and while we'd like to have a coach by next Friday when the free agency period opens, or by next Thursday, I should say, when the moratorium and all that stuff begins and the legal tampering period begins, it's not going to preclude us from rushing to hire the wrong guy. So as a result, they still feel like, at least from where the system sits between him and MJ, they are at least of one accord there, and they believe whatever coach they bring on is going to have to adhere to that accord. Texter from this is Cam tweets things. He says there really isn't someone else that would be a good fit. Why are we going fast after these old has-beens? Surely there's some young assistant that deserves a chance. Believe me, you know, if it's a Cassell or a Sean Sweeney, you know, I'm all for it. And you know, like I said, I'm kind of in the everybody but D'Antoni camp. Although I didn't realize I had to add Steve Clifford to that camp as well. So I'm in the everybody but D'Antoni and Clifford camp now in terms of the Hornet head coaching position, which is still, as of 12:35 on a Friday, the 24th of June, still as yet unfilled. It is the Nick Wilson Show, Willie P. here on Sports Radio 927 FNZ. We've had a lot of fun this week, and I've had a lot of fun filling in for Nick. I'll let you hear how much fun we had over the course of the week with our four best moments of the show, and that is part of the Gold Brick Ceremony. Our pal Jim Solani is on the cover of that. We will get you all those coming up next on Sports Radio 927 FNZ. Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ, Willie P. in the building. A lot going on today outside of the Hornets. Stanley Cup Final can be concluded tonight with Colorado and Tampa Bay. I don't know if you know, they're big Blink-182 fans out there with the Avalanche. They play all the small things in the same kind of way that the Red Sox and Panthers and all these other people play Sweet Caroline. So that's... a little bit different for those. Again, they're a little bit weird out there in Denver, but we'll see whether or not the Avs can close out the Lightning, because not seeing the Lightning win another Stanley Cup would make me very much a happy person. And also, apparently, our boss, who is a big Avalanche fan and also is listening and tweeting me and badgering me about what veteran the Hornets could go get that really would make a difference. It's not just about the veteran. It's about shedding the salary of Gordon Hayward is what really made the difference.
Yep, that was, I think, what we were hoping and expecting last night, given all the rumors leading up to the draft. But that's why they're rumors, and they were proven to be untrue.
It's damn rumors.
Kind of like my success in trying to find a girlfriend.
Is what it is. It's all good, though. Is what it is. We had a lot of fun this week, though, on the program. And as Nick always likes to do at this point of the show and this point of the week, he gives you the Jim Solani Gold Brick of the Week nominees. Itty bitty fitty.
So before Big Daddy departed for the cabin, edgy Sam Darnold made an appearance during last Friday's show, and in the process, Willie, he may have topped his first appearance on the show.
It is ultimate. I am the ultimate real quarterback of the NFL for the Panthers, and it's going great. Coaches behind me, man. I'm really edgy and nervous, man. I'm puffing Xanax like Skittles. I'm down here for training camp. No one's here, and I got all my full pads on, dude. And I got my helmet on. I'm burning up. But I don't know where everybody is.
Sam,
dude. All I hear is
Sam,
birds.
The training camp doesn't start for like 4 weeks, bro. You know that, right?
Oh, bro, dude, are you kidding me?
We're not kidding you, bro. At the training camp, I'm so sorry, Edgy Sam Darnold, it doesn't start until the end of July. I mean, I love the spirit.
Oh, dude, I'm going to go surfing now. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm getting really edgy and nervous about this controversy, dude. Bro, I'm serious. What's going on? Can we just all be buds? You know what I'm going to do? I am going to play the badass. I am going to get a haircut. I am going to get a do you think I would look? Do you think I'd look better with a mohawk or just go complete bald to be a complete badass?
I think completely bald, bro.
Is that the first time you've ever heard Edgy Sam
it
Darnold?
It is the first time. I really didn't know what I was going to say because you kept on forcing this on. He's like, oh, we have to play Edgy Sam Darnold. Edgy Sam Darnold. I'm like, how could you make Sam Darnold sound quote-unquote funny and relevant and cool? That's how. Because that was actually pretty hilarious. It's like a Valley Girl and something from the country got together, and that's the love child is Edgy Sam Darnold.
I'll give you some backstory into that. When you first hear me cackling in the background is when he makes the comment, all he sees is birds. I was on the phone with him in my ear while taking a phone call, trying to stay professional because that's what I am. Because Mark from Mint Hill, Dynamic Mark on the text line, his edgy Sam Darnold, it's gold. It's priceless.
It's amazing. It might be the Gold Brick winner this week, although I very much wanted to be one of the three that we have from actually this week. Number two.
The bit with Beth was back on Tuesday, and as it usually does, it led to another honest revelation about a host here at the station.
So, if you like liver mush, do you guys like crabs? Do you like crabs?
Clarify.
Phrasing, Beth. Phrasing.
Crabs, like the crabs that you eat.
The
like
crustaceans.
Crabs, like
yes.
The crustaceans from the ocean.
Yes, I do love crabs.
Yeah, Willie loves crabs.
I did just come off of a comment about sitting in the bathroom, didn't I?
I do. To clarify.
Yep. Now is your time to clarify. Which crabs do you like?
I like the crabs that come out of the ocean, not elsewhere. But that's, I will say, the bit with Beth is here to stay.
Oh, yes.
She is absolutely phenomenal and gets you to reveal personal things about yourself, like liking crabs.
The apparently. Best part about her is, like, when she first came on, you could tell she was nervous.
Yes.
But considering where she works right down the hall, she fits in as one of the guys.
Mm.
And she just knows how to make us embarrass ourselves even more than we already do.
Well, it's weird. She's all about embarrassing revelations. I was embarrassed as to what I could possibly reveal that's more embarrassing than anything I've said on this air before. But apparently she plucked it out of me.
Yeah, I mean, look, she's led me to admit that I slept with a stuffed UNC mascot.
Yes.
That I wanted to come back reincarnated still, as a chicken.
Still somewhat bothered by the Ramses situation.
That Nick has a resting sit face, and you do with that with what you will, so...
Leaving that alone.
She's done a lot of good in her month or worth so on the show.
So we have Edgy Sam Donald and Krabs, number three.
Number three.
When talking about the future and the direction of our beloved Charlotte Hornets, you, my man, Willie P, you went on an epic rant that would light the text line and the Twitters on fire.
If you're not trying to win, then what are we doing this for? Like, that's the part of it that I don't understand. It's like, if you're not trying to make your team as good as possible, how are you selling that to the Hornet fan? How are you selling that to the Hornet players? How are you selling that to free agents? If you're not trying to win, then why are we playing the games? It's not just some random exercise that we have. Oh, well, we're just going to play it out this year, and you know, maybe we'll get an eighth seed. Maybe we'll get to a seven-game playoff series. No! Baloney! You want to try to win! I'm not saying you go out and you get irresponsible with things, but you have to at least show me a progression. I'm not seeing a progression. I'm seeing a plateau. It's stagnant. Why in the world would you not want to try to win? It's nauseating watching this franchise at times. I get it. But God almighty, why are we looking at this and saying it's 10 years away when it could be actually 3 or 4 years away under the right actual management?
Yeah, I was a little bit in my bag there. Not going to lie, I was a little bit in my bag there. But it's, I think everything that I said, I don't want to say came to fruition on Friday, but I still feel that kind of way. Because again, I feel like we're treating this like it's something that is taking a longer time than it really probably should to actually happen.
No, I thought it was fantastic. And you typically, I mean, we have a whole segment when you come on that is Willie P's Panic Meter. And you didn't even do that while you were doing your panic meter.
Yeah,
so
that was not even a panic meter segment. That was just me panicking irrationally on my own.
That's why I thought it was so fantastic.
It's incredible. It's incredible. I don't know if Colin Hoggard is laughing at us or if it's he's just laughing.
He's probably laughing at us.
He's laughing at me. Okay.
Yeah,
he's
that's usually what happens around here.
Understand.
Number
it.
Four.
Finally, another candidate from the bit with Beth. As you made a reference to my morning workout routine,
yes,
that I believe went over her head literally and figuratively.
Well, Itty Bitty Fitty does work out in the morning, but I don't know if it's sanctioned by any type of...
it's the real washing machine tossing.
That's funny. That's funny.
Oh, man.
I think she actually got it. I think she actually got it.
So, like, I was tempted to ask her.
No, I think she got it.
Because then,
I can explain to you why she got it, because if I try to conjugate that sentence on the air, I am risking my job.
Because, like, she didn't get resting sit face. Like, we had to explain to her what that was. So I
there is a certain older vernacular that involves words that you use there that would fit the action that which I was describing.
And so I did have a problem admitting
that was difficult.
But she the last couple of weeks she has told me that she finds me delightful. She tells me that she loves me.
Stop it.
Like, I don't want to lose all the nice things she said about me. So I was like, you know what? If it went over her head, we'll leave it be.
I don't think it went over her head. And I'll explain it to you off the air, because I'm pretty sure she got it, given the comment that she made. These are the Jim Solania Gold Bricks of the Week nominees. We have Edgy Sam Darnold. We have Krabs. We have Willie's Rant. And we have Morning Workout. Those are your four selections for this week. You can vote on them coming up at the WFNZ Twitter page. We'll play the best one of the week coming up to close out the show at the end of the program before 2 o'clock. It is the Nick Wilson Show, Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ. We will continue our discussion on the Hornets and ask you the age-old question. Are you satisfied with your basketball team currently? Sports Radio 92.7 FNZ.